To those listening via radio, we wish you good morning and welcome you to Trinity United Methodist Church. We would love for you to visit in person, and if you would like to help support the ministries here at Trinity, offerings may be mailed to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, where we offer worship at 9:30 and Sunday school at 10:45. Following special music, our scripture will be Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12 on page 207 in your pew Bibles.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Blessing, no?
Yes.
Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zor. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over it into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. The theme of this message is loud and clear. God cares for us. And when we respond to that love, we are called to show God's love by caring for one another. Even in the poignant story of Moses' death, we see how God cares for his people. We see how God provides for a successor to take them on into the promised land and to continue to lead them. God continues to provide for them. Indeed, God's love has been at work since the beginning of time, from everlasting to everlasting. So how do we respond to his love, to his grace, to his forgiveness, to his mercy, to his compassion, and even at times, beloved, to his correction? I don't know about you, but God has saved my life literally several times. And he has forgiven me so much. And he has healed so much in me that I am passionate about giving him praise and worship, glory and honor, and sharing his love with others. Maybe you're not quite as passionate as what I am, and that's okay, because we're all created differently. But I would be willing to bet that our good and gracious God has done something in your life that you will never forget. Throughout the month of November, we're going to be celebrating thankfulness and gratitude in our good and gracious God. We're getting ready to head into the winter season. And during that season, this is typical in any city, any state across the nation. The suicide rates, the alcoholism, drug use, abuse, and even natural death rises at least 3 to 4 times higher than what it's been. And that was before COVID. COVID has tripled all of those things up to now, before we head into the holiday season. Beloved, we can't afford to be complacent. We can't afford to be lazy. We can't afford to be overly fearful. Yes, we have to protect ourselves and protect our families by not going out in large crowds, by wearing masks, by taking all precautions that we possibly can. That doesn't mean we can't be the light in the darkness. And I've seen so many of you do it. Jennifer's great about calling Mary Miller. I should be calling more often. I've seen James Card Ministry. It's fantastic. It comes at just the right time. Dee's an intercessor. She's always praying or asking others to pray. I see all kinds of tiny things that all of you do. Step it up during the holiday season. Find ways to reach out to the lonely, to the shut-in, to the ill, to people who are marginalized. Because this holiday season is going to be unlike any other. And we need to be that light in any way that we possibly can. Okay. Back to our regularly scheduled message. Mountains tend to fascinate us. They tower majestically above us. And when we look at them from the ground up, all we can do is stand in awe. Throughout the centuries, mountains have been a symbol of a connection between humans and the divine. When we are bold enough to climb that mountain, we are rewarded with a breathtaking view. How many of you have memories of having been to the top of a mountain and looking down? My favorite one is Mount Rainier in Washington. When I was a kid, Paradise Valley was magical. I just loved it. In the Bible, those mountains are even more significant. Today we will be learning about mountaintop experiences, the way our lives have been formed and shaped by those who have gone before us, those who sit beside us, those who inspire our faith and our courage. And I hope that our faith is rekindled and we are inspired not only to share that faith with others, but to disciple them to maturity as we climb that metaphorical mountain. I want to show you a vision of the years to come. And as long as you hold on to this vision, as long as you vest yourself in it, as long as you believe in it, our good and gracious God will meet us and it will happen. Not in the ways that we may concoct in our own head, but it will happen. Children learning stories of the Bible. Us walking through the streets and singing the word. Feeding the hungry. First with food and then with the word. Being a fellowship that heals and protects. A place where new couples can come and be surrounded by people they love. A place where couples married for a while can find wisdom. In those of you who have been married for a long time, find wisdom and receive prayer support for those rough times in life. A place where teenagers can come and be themselves and worship Jesus in a way that speaks to them. A place that ministers to our community, starting with our own body, starting with rekindling that fire in our spirits, having it be infectious throughout our own body, and then taking it outside of our walls. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, wholly lean in Jesus' name. The Bible. Mountains are more than just breathtaking in the Bible. For the Bible writers, mountains are a special place, bulging up from the earth, invading heavenly territory. Mountains represented something sacred and holy. When Moses received the Ten Commandments, he was on top of Mount Sinai. In Daniel chapter 2, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, a statue represented the kingdom of earth, a stone not cut by humans. That statue, because the only person that we're going to be worshiping is God. The mountains symbolize God's everlasting power and majesty. The mountains symbolize a high place where we meet God, where things are sacred and holy. All throughout the Old Testament, you find people going to the mountains to be filled, to be refilled, to receive a word from God, to continue to worship. In our passage this morning, Moses goes to Mount Nebo to go on top of Pisgah, and God gave him a spectacular view of Canaan. This trip in chapter 34 is actually Moses' second chance to see that view. In chapter 3, God tells Moses to go on top and to look over all of the land. And then something miraculous happened. When he went up there the first time, he may have been chastised by God. He may have been told that he will not go into the promised land, partially because of the sins of the people that he allowed, partially because of his own sins of anger and of frustration. And we think, God, how could you be so cruel? Couldn't you show a little mercy here? He did show mercy. He reassured Moses that the people that he had worked with, the people that he had loved and poured his blood, sweat, and tears in, albeit frustrated with sometimes, were going to cross over and were going to live in this land that had been promised to them when Moses was first called to go and release them from slavery in Egypt. Moses saw the payoff for all the years of hard work and sacrifice. 40 years wandering in the wilderness had not been easy. Moses has had to lead the way. He put up with deprivation, despair, and grumbling. He has known the rage of the people, and he himself expressed rage. Somehow in all of it, God has brought them through whatever they face and provided for them. But in our humanity, we forget to say, thank you, God, thank you. Thank you that you saved my life here. Thank you that you healed me here. Thank you that you took care of my children and my grandchildren. No, in our humanity, we grumble and say, where are you, God? I need more of this and more of that. When he has provided for our basic needs. Only Moses would not be there. But God did reassure him of the fulfillment of the great promise. And Moses, of all people, friend of God, had experienced more mountaintop experiences than we can shake a stick at. You know, when Moses was allowed to see God's figurative hindquarters or backside, because we know that God doesn't have a body, he is spirit. God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and God said, I will put my hand over your eyes. And then as I run by, I will remove my hand. Be awful hard to do, run by, hold your hand over somebody's eyes. But he said, all you can see is my passing. All you can handle seeing is my passing glory. For if you saw my full glory, you could not withstand it. But even that passing glory lit Moses' face aglow. And when he came down from the mountain, the people said, cover your face, it's too bright. Moses has had his mountaintop experiences. He has served the purpose that God has called him to do. And he has been reassured time and time and time again that his legacy will live on. And beloved, I know some of you are tired. Some of you have been here every single time the doors of the church have been open. For decades. I'm not asking you to put a whole lot more time in. I'm asking you to find what your niche is in this season. Maybe when COVID finally goes away and we can do VBS, you can do props at home. Maybe you can do cards. Maybe you can make calls. Maybe you can pray over the prayer list. Maybe you can come and just sit when we have a prayer service or something else that we're trying to build on to draw the community in. Because you too will see the promise of a legacy left by this church. I believe that God is doing great things. We don't always see the numbers increasing in here every single week, but we have seen it. We have seen new life and we have seen new energy. And we are seeing God's promises fulfilled. Moses is more than a negative example for us. You know, when he smoked that rock and he got frustrated, we're all human. That happens to all of us. He is a reminder that sins block our path. If we want to enter into the promised land, into harmony, into peace with one another, into the depth of spiritual harmony with our Lord and Savior, into such a sweet union with Jesus Christ that it overtakes your body, your mind, and your spirit. If we want that, we draw anything that we have against one another. And if you need help doing that, you'll come to me one-on-one. I swear I'll never tell anyone. For my God has helped me to forgive things that you couldn't even bear to imagine. I think of Corrie Ten Boom and her ability to forgive. But if we want to move forward and really reflect the light of Christ, if we want to live healthy, happy lives, and I'm not talking about just spiritually and emotionally, physically as well too, people, when we hold on to anger, to grudges, when we don't forgive, maybe it's because it hurts too much. That's being disobedient. And our God can't honor what we're doing. So we have to come together. Sometimes it'll be something that you endorse. Sometimes it won't. The next time it'll be something you endorse and I won't. But that's how we move together. That's how God blesses us. That's how He pours His blessings upon us. Sometimes that trip to that metaphorical mountain is an easy climb upward, and sometimes there's stumbling blocks. We as a church, coming together under the power, the love of Jesus, and prayer, and I know this church to be a spirit-led, prayer-filled church, are a force to be reckoned with. We will break through injustices. We can win over people who didn't ever think that they would come into a church, let alone give their lives to Jesus. And we do that through love and prayer. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to lead the United States in a land of racial harmony, justice, and reconciliation. Perhaps the most gripping interpretation of this passage in Deuteronomy 34 is in modern history, in King's use made of it on the last night of his life. King was speaking in Memphis, Tennessee, on behalf of the striking sanitation workers seeking better working conditions and asking for a decent human living wage. In his speech, King held out the promise of a better America in which oppressed people, white, black, green, yellow, purple, I don't care, oppressed by something, oppressed by lack of a job, oppressed by poverty, oppressed by illness, oppressed by addiction. I don't care if you're polka dot and striped. In his speech, when King held out this promise for a better America, for oppressed people who worked courageously to see these bonds broken, all people live in dignity while acknowledging that he might not get to enter into the experience that he has described himself. King closed his speech in an unmistakable allusion to this passage. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain And I've looked over and I've seen that promised land. Do our sins keep us from having the opportunity to enter the promised land? If they do, only you and your God know that. So you repent and you turn back towards Him as many times as it takes. He will always wash you clean. I hope that in my time here as a pastor, whether it's 2 years or 20 years, that one thing becomes abundantly clear to you, to our radio audience, to our neighbors, to anybody in this community that I happen to come in contact with. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us, will forgive us again and again and again and again, no matter what we have done, if we are sincere in asking for His forgiveness. And like the Egyptians, He will free us from slavery. Slavery to ideas in our head. Slavery to whatever addiction, hurt, pain, wound, grudge you may have. My prayer is that each and every one of us will take some time today and envision climbing that metaphorical mountain and envision the things that you would like to see in the coming years from this church. Children singing, Bible stories being read. I want to see that auto library being used. I can't do it because of COVID right now. But I want you all to be volunteering and reading to neighborhood kids so that they hear the word. I want to be a part in, and if you all want to, great. And by the way, I have an apology to make. It was brought to my attention, and I'm glad. I am really glad when I say something that doesn't come out quite right, which is fairly frequently, come to me and ask me a question. Last week, at the end of the service, I was talking about having signed us up for a cold night out. I talked to Larry Robbins, and he said, I'll get you signed up. And then the guy came to the Unity service. That's kind of what I meant. I didn't commit us to starting yet. I will not commit this church to starting that kind of endeavor without knowing that that's what you want to do. I will do it if the greater percentage wants it. And there is a few that do not, because we have to move forward as a church. But I do apologize for just throwing something out there. If at any point in time you hear me praying, preaching, talking, whatever, and I inadvertently step on toes, it is your responsibility, beloved, to bring it to me. Come and let us reason together. Because I will always preach the whole word, but never with the intent to use it as a weapon against anyone, only as a sword of truth. Never do I intend in any way, shape, or form to hurt someone. So if something like that has happened, because Satan got in there and created a wedge, or your pastor blundered and said something silly, so bring it to me. Let us close with prayer. Father God, I thank you for the wonderful mountaintop experiences that we have all had. We have had times in this church that we will never forget. We have had times of spiritual growth with you that we will never forget. Lord, we have had deep valleys as well. And I ask that you bolster us, encourage us, guide us, and lead us. Because I believe that we are on our way up the mountain, coming out of a deep valley. With COVID going on, with pastoral changes going on, with not seeing children or many young people present at this moment, we've slid a little into the valley. But Papa, I believe that you are bringing us out of that valley, that you have work for us to do, that you are calling us into deeper relationship with you with your son, and most assuredly with the Holy Spirit. So all y'all best hold on tight. Lord, I ask that we come together on one accord to fulfill your will for this church. And all God's people said, amen.